Thanks for downloading this podcast, which is for personal use only. All contents are copyright Radio Show Limited and must not be reproduced, rebroadcast, or used in any form without permission. For contact details, go to www.radiolemon.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome along to another midweek motorsport special here on radiolemon.com. I'm John Hindhoff. Now, recently we covered the FIA WEC Prologue, the pre-season test down at Paul Ricard, and you may have already heard our 2 1-hour special programmes from that event. If you haven't, by the way, they're still available free on the archive. Well, Audi were kind enough to give us access to pretty much all of their technical team and driver squad, so we thought we'd package all that together in an Audi special. So let's get started with the man at the top, the head of Audi Motorsport, Dr. Wolfgang Ulrich. And he seems very pleased that the first race is just around the corner.
There's no question that everybody is looking forward to come to the first race weekend because we are all racers. On the other hand, you need the time to develop your car properly. There was quite some work to be done over the winter, a lot of effort from all of the manufacturers. And I would say, for me, it was something that shows the level of this championship is that none of the cars today was suffering from any technical problems, not what you could see from outside. The cars have been running a lot. Each manufacturer did different programs. The cars have been running with different aero specs. Mm-hmm. And at the end, if you look at the lap times, the cars are very close together. Mm-hmm. So this looks promising. And so we're looking forward to going for racing.
You always want more time. Everyone wants more time. But as we stand here now, are you satisfied at where the programme is? Nothing you can do about it if you're not, I suppose, but are you satisfied that the work has gone in and gone in the right places as we stand here at Paul Ricard?
I have to say that 2-3 more weeks would not be bad, but I think that is valuable for everybody. We have still some work to go, and that's what we have in our planning. But the first race is there, mm-hmm. and it will be a challenge for everybody to have all the stuff as close as possible to what we want to achieve. Because with these very complex systems working together, I think there is by far more room to work and optimize a car with having the parts together.
Yes.
Yeah? So there, I think, with the parts in the cars, the time that you still can optimize is now more important. And so everybody will push it more and more and more into racing, and maybe in the first and second race, and continue and continue and going towards Le Mans. And I'm quite sure that even after Le Mans, everybody will continue to work on optimization of the concepts, making the components working together at the most efficient way. Because there is still a lot of ideas around.
In Audi street cars and even in your motor racing, we tend to see, as we move through the life of one vehicle and then at the start of another, evolution rather than revolution. You didn't have that option this time. You had to think differently. And it has brought some new thinking, a bigger engine, not a smaller engine. You choose to debut the car on the streets of Le Mans. This is not conservative. This is not playing it safe for Audi. You have made some big decisions here.
Yes, but I think it was time to do it on the one hand. On the other hand, it shouldn't be a real surprise that Audi is not going just an easy and standard way, because this is not what we have done the years before. We always try to push for new technology and for future-orientated technology that is relevant for our customers. I think we have pushed a lot in this direction with the new car, and it's a completely new one. Then to do this in Le Mans, I think, was just an idea that came up in some discussions. And looking back a little bit in the history, it made sense that especially if a completely new rule book after quite a long period of a quite constant rule book is coming, like we have it this year, somebody maybe makes the presentation in a way that it was many, many years ago. And I think the result that I have seen in Le Mans was, for me, very positive. Mm-hmm. I had the feeling that it was very welcome from everybody there. And it was just a nice stuff at the beginning of, I hope, a very good season.
With a completely new set of rules, with a completely new way of measuring performance as we have, is it reasonable to think it might not be completely correct to start with, that there may have to be some adjustments during the year, and how might that happen? Will you guys talk to the ACO with your competitors? We're talking very new technology here. We've seen the issues in Formula One with the fuel metering, and we're in sports cars, we're a lot more relaxed in sports cars, but clearly there needs to be a dialogue here, Dr. Ulrich, between the manufacturers and the ACO.
The dialogue is very active with the ACO, with the FIA, with all the manufacturers, and as well with the manufacturers of the components, that we need to control the new rulebook. We are doing continuously good work together. We have done some big steps here. Mm-hmm. And we are convinced, and we go for the target, that in Silverstone we are ready to have a proper racing and that we can follow the rule book properly.
And we will see a car cross the line and win, and then that will be the winner. There will be no shenanigans afterwards.
This is the target of all of us, because we have to make sure that there is good racing going on and that our fans and the spectators get results that come out of racing on the racetrack.
Final question, because I know it's getting late. Are you impressed, surprised? What is your thinking behind the fact that we've made all these changes, all these efficiencies, and the cars are nearly the same speed here? The lap times are not too different from the 8 hours here in 2010.
Now, basically, this was the target of the rulebook. We wanted to make a new generation of cars that is running quite similar speed to what we had the last years, but with 25 to 30% less energy. And that's what we have achieved, and that's a big step.
And we'll have more on how those regulations have affected the thinking for Audi's new for 2014 R18 e-tron Quattro later in the show, with engine guru Ulrich Beretsky and project leader Chris Renke. But now let's get to the drivers. And first, Loic Duval, who joined Tom Christensen and Alan McNish in the number 2 car last year, but came away in position 1 as a world champion. Did that really make a difference to his CV?
Definitely. I mean, in every sport, you know, being world champion in what you do, it's something special, so for sure. For me, it was really important when I joined Audi to be able to do the whole championship and trying to win it. So fortunately, we achieved that last year with Alan and Tom. It was great, and I think all of us we got the same feeling. Being world champion, it's always special, and having that on your CV, nobody can take away.
Fantastic drive at Le Mans last year, fantastic drive all through the season. Circumstances, unfortunately, meant that possibly some of your achievements were overlooked, but the driving was outstanding. And do you go back to Le Mans this year with a feeling that you can repeat that and do it again?
Yeah, I mean, it's the target. I mean, they are always looking at us races after races, you know. It was last year, it was a good race. I think the year before also. We're all going to try to give our best. For sure, sometimes it can be bad, but I think most of the time we do our best, and most of the time we are able to achieve that. So we're going to go again. Pumped up 100%, and we're going to try to do the best we can.
And you're not the new boy this year, because you got Lucas in the team. That means you have to be sensible and, you know, help Tom to be the team leader, don't you?
I mean, for sure, we have a bit more of experience with the WEC team, you know, compare Lucas. But he's been here already last year with Audi.
Of course.
You know, more or less all the people. For sure, he has to know a little bit more our mechanics on our car, but at the end he has a lot of experience, and I'm sure it will fit. I mean, he does fit really well with the team, so I'm sure that's not a question mark for all of us. It will be good. It will do good, and we really hope that we can win together.
Wish you all the best. Let's push on the Ben Trelliway here. little bit of a problem with the two car today, or was that just planned maintenance that was going on?
No, we drive things that we don't have time to drive most of the time, you know, changing big things and see how it happened. It was the first time with our race car that we could ride, and it was important that we tried to set up a little bit the car, because most of the time when we are doing development, we are changing parts and there's a big changes. Now we are playing with a tool we have, and we need to know which direction we have to go when we have certain problems. So, no, we didn't get any problems. It's just changing big things, and it just takes time sometimes.
World champion 2 years ago, lost the number one to the number two car. It's your teammate. Does that make right? He's not listening. Does that make it better or worse that you lose it to your teammates?
No, I mean, the race is a race. Last year we did, I think, good performance. We missed few things and we have been a bit unlucky. We cannot win every year, but the most important is to have a big motivation and that Audi win. And for sure, many people want that some other manufacturer win, but can believe me that we do our best that it's not happen. And what we want is a super show, and we want to show a really nice performance to everyone, a nice overtaking, and the new regulation is a new thing that I think most of people really appreciate. It's tough now for everyone, for the teams, for the FIA, and we just hope that it's going to be, we're going to go through everything really well, and we hope for the very nice races.
New challenge for drivers in driving technique, in the technology, I've had a look inside the car. The amount of instrumentation that you've got in there now is mind-boggling. I'm not even sure that normal people, regular people, could concentrate on the driving without watching everything else. There's so much going on now.
Yeah, it's so many things. Yeah, we have so many things to do in the car, and for sure we have to learn how to deal with that, and it's very important to simulate the thing, and that's why we were doing many things during the weekend. It was in situation, in traffic, because we practiced quite a lot to change many things on the steering wheel during the winter test, but we didn't have any traffic at the time, and today was a big thing to look at in the mirror of the steering consumption, the thing, and everywhere, you know, and sometimes you just lose concentration, and I can tell you, yesterday I drove only during the night, and it was a nightmare. Really, I was not used to drive in the night with the lights inside the cockpit without the light, but the problem is we switch off the light in the cockpit, we don't see where is the switches, and you have an amount of switches everywhere, which is a nightmare sometimes. So I think we have to go through a procedure now before races to get used to the steering and all the switches before jumping into the car. It's not like in the past, just start the engine and go, and now we have so many things to do, but it's interesting, I tell you. Even in a driving style, it's very interesting, because you have to be very efficient and to save fuel, but at the same time trying to carry a lot of speed in the corners with a good balance, and but you don't load so much the tires, because you should not brake a lot, you should let the car go. It's really interesting.
And is it completely different driving style? The cars look vaguely similar to last year. They're a little bit smaller, a little bit more compact. Obviously the technology is massively different, but it's still a P1 car. But it sounds to me as though you guys are driving them quite differently.
Yeah, it's a little bit. I don't have to say that it's a lot different. It's a little bit different in terms of performance, driving style for performance. Just need to carry a little bit more speed and lift a little bit earlier sometime. But the most difficult thing is because now the target is to use as much as you can the fuel you are able to use to be performed. Yes. And sometimes it's in the during the beginning of a lap, if you catch some traffic and then you save fuel not on purpose, that you are allowed to burn the fuel at the end. Mm-hmm. But it changed completely your reference of braking, carrying speed and all the thing. So that's going to be a different type of talent. I mean, all the metronome were really precise with a reference on the track. You have to brake here, release the brake here. It was that style before. And the good driver were a driver like that. And now it comes back to the driver who have to anticipate. and to be reactive on different things. And I like this way of things because I do a lot of motocross, and it's a thing which on the motocross every lap is different, mm-hmm. and you have to anticipate things, and it's what I like in that new regulation.
Everybody, all drivers, all car drivers should have to ride a motorbike. It makes them a better driver. I think that for sure. Now, you've been out with the other P1 cars here at Ricard in the last couple of days. Are you able as a driver, given everything else you've just talked about, to sort of watch what's been going on, have a look at the attitude of their cars, and be able to give any hints back to the guys in the garage about, oh, they look strong here, oh, they don't look so strong there?
Yeah, we have seen a few points where they are using most of boost or not, or we could see in few laps that they were not using a lot of downforce on some cars, and we can see in sync that they were not that quick compared to where we were very stable. And for sure, we got some information, and we came back in the pit with some information for our crew. But the most important is to keep concentrate on what we think is the best, but to have some information sometimes is not bad too.
Yes, yes, and no racing broke out at all in the last 2 days.
No, it was a good test for everyone, and I think everybody was looking after each other, and it will be very interesting. We can feel a little tension in everyone, but it's good for everyone anyway, for teams, for drivers, for spectators, organizer. So it's going to be a great year for sure.
You're clearly looking forward to this. There's a big smile. Well, there's always a big smile on your face, but you're clearly already excited about the season to come. This is not just another season. This is a very special season for everybody, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's going to be very special, and I like to go into the season motivated like that.
Benoit Trelli were there, and he's clearly excited for the 2014 season, and let's be honest, aren't we all? Before that, defending world champion Loic Duval. You're listening to a midweek motorsport special here on Radio Le Mans. We're looking at Audi's challenge for the 2014 FIA WEC season. And still to come on the programme, 9 times a Le Mans winner Tom Christensen gives us his thoughts on not only the season, but the big race, the 24 hours in 2014. We'll also be finding out just how those rules and regulations have affected the development of the 2014 R18 e-tron hybrid, the Quattro that Audi will be racing this year. But next, we'll be having a chat with the man who has to fill the very small shoes of a very big name in sports car racing. Alan McNish has left, and the man who takes his place is next here on RadioLeMond.com.
Hear the World Endurance Championship when you want it. Every moment of the season is waiting for you at www.radiolemond.com. So if you missed the race, want to catch up with practice, qualifying, and our behind-the-scenes interviews and chat, head to the WEC archive section at www.radiolemond.com. RadioLeMond.com, the home of endurance racing.
Lucas Di Grassi, I'm driving the car number one.
Lucas, welcome to the World Endurance Championship. Welcome back to the World Endurance Championship, I should say. You join a team that is defending Le Mans champions,
yes.
Defending world champion. So no pressure at all here, is there?
Every year is different. This year we have many other competitors. The rules have changed a lot. So the car is a completely new car, different systems. Now the target is much more energy efficiency. Our engine is around 30% more efficient than last year. So it's a completely new car. Of course, there is a lot of pressure to replace a legend like Alan. I have a lot to learn. I have a lot to deliver to fill his seat. But I have two good teammates, great teammates. Tom, I don't even need to speak about it. And Loic has proved that he can win Le Mans and the World Championship last year. He did a fantastic job. So what I can do is to learn from them the most as I can, try to get up to speed as quick as I can. It will be my second Le Mans. I don't have much experience. Le Mans is a very, very difficult track. But last year I had a good taste of it, of the podium, finishing third, which was a tough job after we had a tire failure. Mm. So, yeah, it will be It'll be a very good season.
You have that Audi experience in the past, and you raced, of course, in the WEC for Audi as well. In some ways, you have less to unlearn about the old cars. So do you come to the new systems with maybe perhaps a more open mind as to how to drive them? Because I'm told it's a very different driving style.
It is. It is different driving style, but when you have the experience of an LMP or any car in a track, is always good. Mm-hmm. So the amount of miles you've done in Le Mans with even open cars and stuff, it always add on. It's not that you change, but the line is roughly the same.
Yes.
The speed of these cars are roughly the same as last year in terms of lap time. Okay, you have to do more different techniques, maybe save some fuel at some points or not. But that's what they've done in the past, what we've done in the past in sports car. So I don't think there is any advantage of having less experience, but I think it's easier because the level now is because everybody has to learn as well. I can learn a little bit quicker, or not quicker, but I can learn. Everybody has to learn new stuff, so yes, it's difficult for everyone, basically.
It's a challenge. Is it a challenge that you are looking forward to? New skills, surely, always good.
Yes, of course. I will do two championships this year, the WEC and the Formula E, both for Audi. Mm-hmm. And both are very similar in terms of being energy efficient because it's the same technique. So I'm very happy that I've been able to learn this and try to improve my technique on that. Still driving a fantastic car like the Audi is. So I think it will be a great championship, great opportunity to learn a lot.
Tell me a little bit about Formula E. I know that's not what we're here for, but, you know, it's something that people want to know about. Have you driven the car yet?
I drove the car, but not with the full power
yet.
The car has 300 horsepower at full power. I drove it only with 100 in the very beginning. So I need to have a look at how it will behave. But from what I heard from my fellow drivers, the car is quite impressive to drive. It's very different.
I think I'm right in saying there might be a little bit of an issue with the schedules, because is Bahrain the same time as the Formula E race back in your home country?
It is.
At least I remember that right.
Yes, Bahrain and Rio are scheduled at 15th of November, and at the moment, my priority, of course, is the WEC, the World Endurance Championship. Will be very, very tough this year, but there is a long time to go. We don't know exactly what's happening, neither in Bahrain, neither in Rio, neither with both championships, how both are going. There's still a lot of unknowns.
Yes.
I will decide much closer, but of course the WEC will take priority over anything.
It's a big year for your home country, Brazil. Big couple of years with World Cup, Olympics, all coming along. A Brazilian has never won Le Mans.
Yes,
true. Overall. Ooh, could you? I mean, there would be a nice symmetry to all of that. And do you even think about that?
Just a little bit more pressure, right? Just it was not enough. Yeah, Brazilian never won Le Mans overall. That would be a fantastic achievement for any driver, but especially for me to be the first Brazilian to write my name in history. Le Mans is a fantastic race. I went my first time to Le Mans last year when I raced there. So, because before I was doing Formula One and then other stuff that was not related to Le Mans, so the first time I had the experience of actually experiencing Le Mans was last year, and was driving an Audi. And
on the podium.
Yeah, and rookie of Le Mans, mm-hmm, and finish on the podium.
Were you able to enjoy that experience? Le Mans is a very special place. Of course, I'm going to say that with my background. I think Le Mans is a very special place, a very emotional place. Were you able to take that in and enjoy it, or was there just too much going on? Were you focused on your work?
No, I enjoyed very much, especially when I was inside the car. When you're driving, you forget about all the commitments or every pressure that you have. At least for me, I mean, you completely focus on what you have to do. And in Le Mans, if you're not completely focused, especially with the weather we had last year, especially because I did the start also of the race, only doing 12 laps or so before the start. So it was a lot of tension, a lot of pressure. I drove in the end almost 10 hours during the race with my three times I went in the car. and I could experience wet Le Mans, dry Le Mans, half wet, half dry.
That was just on one lap.
Yeah, that was every lap. So it was very intense. I have to say that I was glad that race was over, because it was extremely difficult, extremely was extreme for all the reasons.
Yes, of course.
Inexperience for me, difficult to drive the track in that conditions. Our fight, because we lost a tire, and then we were fighting with the Toyota for the third place, and we managed to beat them in the very end. So it was a lot of tension, but when you have a lot of difficulties, also the feeling of the podium tastes almost as a victory.
Yes.
So we were very, very happy to finish on the podium. I was very, very happy. And yeah, I want to, I think this year I will have a completely different approach. I know what's going on. I know more or less where to turn, at least. So I think I will be enjoying much more.
Breathe, look around, enjoy it much more. There's a whole championship, as we've talked about, with the FIAWEC, the World Endurance Championship, very important to the manufacturers as well as to the drivers, because there is a drivers' championship now, and your two teammates won it last year. And whatever anybody says, I know Formula One's right at the top, an FIA World Championship, you get to go to the big gala night, you pick up the trophy. It's a big thing on a driver's CV.
It is a huge thing. There are not many world championships, as you said. To be world champion in any sport, on any category, is extremely difficult. In the WEC, you can say that WEC maybe is one of the most difficult ones, although you share the car with two teammates, but people that see from the outside say, okay, you share the car with another two, but also there is the complication of having a car that is fitting the three of them. Mm-hmm. All the three of them has to do the work. There is a lot of team spirit. If there is any fight between any of the drivers or any of the team, if there is no really a good relationship between, it doesn't work at all. It's almost like a small football team.
Yes.
You know, like,
yes.
So you don't win by yourself, but right. You can lose by yourself.
Yes.
So it's something that I had to learn also last year, to learn to how to work with three drivers.
Was that difficult?
It was different. It is difficult. It is difficult because drivers, they are very...
Selfish,
yes. In a way, especially if you come from... selfish in a way that you want the car for yourself.
Correct.
You want to set up the car for yourself. You have this experience from the single-seaters that everything you have to perform, but everything is around you.
Mm-hmm.
With this... is, like I said, it's different. You have to learn how to learn the team spirit part of it, and making sure that the whole... And because also there are more pit stops, the race is longer, not only the drivers, but the engineer has to be alert, has to do his job. Everybody has to do his job much more precisely. You have to learn how to do that. It was extremely difficult, but now, with a little bit more experience, I'm enjoying it a lot.
Okay, final question. Nothing to do with motorsports. About the World Cup. Brazil going to win on home soil, or is it going to be one of the Europeans? What do you think? Is it possible that Brazil can win? That would be the fiesta of all fiestas.
Yes, I hope Brazil wins. Of course, it's possible. It didn't start yet, but World Cup is very... Because it's only one game.
Yeah.
At some point, it's very random, you know. You can... I'll take the example of Spain that lost the first game and then they won the World Cup. If they lost that game in the quarterfinals, it would be gone. So it's very random, but I hope Brazil wins. Brazil has put a lot of effort and money into the World Cup. So
you know, it's the same time as Le Mans. The first games are
Le
Mans.
I know,
so
I know.
Do you already have your driving stints worked out so that you can watch the games?
that would be totally secondary for me.
He says that with a huge smile on his face. Lucas, thank you for talking to us. Enjoy the season and enjoy Le Mans this year.
Thank you very much.
Ulrich Beretsky, it's a new season. There are many new challenges, not least within your field of experience, the engine. Audi have gone for a little larger engine this year. That was possibly a surprise, slightly more displacement, up to 4 litres.
Yes.
We are looking for efficiency.
Yes.
Everyone else is downsizing.
Yes.
And Audi does something that we don't expect. What is the thinking here? Have you all gone mad?
We have done very often things nobody expected.
That's
true. Was not in the mainstream, but against it, and long term it turned out to be the right thing. But the point being why we don't make a downsized engine is pretty simply explained. The demands of our customers are completely different to those who are driving road cars with downsized engines. They normally don't use the performance They have it. They have it if they need it, but they don't use it. So that's why it's enough to have a small engine with a low consumption, because they have low weight and everything. Our customers, our drivers, normally are driving flat out, so they need an engine which can cope that without an excessive consumption. So that's why we have made a bigger engine. And if I could have done it in six cylinders, I would have made even an even bigger one.
Oh, really?
To make it more efficient, yes.
In terms of the friction and the mass and things like that with six cylinders, there's an advantage over eight?
No, the point is the weight overall, you know. If I would have made a bigger displacement than 4 liters, I would have to go to an 8-cylinder, and then we would have a larger, a longer engine, a more heavy engine, and that's why we didn't do it. The overall best compromise was this 4-liter V6, which is a complete new engine, having the same architecture than last year's and the year before's engine. But overall, we have made an improvement in consumption beyond 20%.
Wow.
Reduction. So, yeah, that's fact. That's reality. And it's also agreed with our friends from the FIA. They have the figures, and they can easily compare that. And this is what we believe is very important for our customers in downsized engines, because technology we are using there, you can use as well in downsized engines. Then you have both things on your side. You have the technology to make it really efficient, and you have a downsized engine which your customer, road customers, are happy with. And if they need for a short moment huge of power, we can do it. They have paid to pay for it, of course, because consumption goes up then. But most of the time they don't do it, and they're really happy with it. But the feeling to have the power, if you need it, that's enough for them, you know.
Yes.
Our drivers, they use the power they have and ask for more. That's the difference between the customers, you know.
Yes, I understand that. The drivers always want more of everything.
Yeah,
more
of course,
power, more downforce.
Of course.
Exactly. Without giving me any specifics, because I know you wouldn't do that, does this mean that the bigger engine is revving slightly less? The revolutions engine revolution slightly less?
No, the revolutions are more or less in the same level than we have had in the past.
So the efficiency are coming from the design and the injection and other things?
Yes, it's all together. It's a lot of other elements in it I don't want to talk about,
of course.
But this enables us to reduce, at the end of the day, the effect that counts. This is something you can check. You can check after the race 24 hours, you can see what was the consumption last year and what was the consumption this year. And if the figure is below 20%, you come to me, I pay you a beer or two.
Okay, no, I'm very happy. I'm very happy that you will be right. And also, I presume that as with TFSI and with TDI and e-tron concepts, that what you're doing with the diesel engine in the back of the e-tron Quattro eventually will filter down to my A6 all-road and my V6 3-litre.
Yes, that's the clear target, and this is the job our colleagues from the production have to do. They have to take over the technology and to applicate this in road car engines. And I'm the first one who wants to drive one, of course, but not to be more efficient, but to be more powerful. We can do it in both ways, you know. This is the good thing about it. And this has always been our target, to develop technologies which are really worth to be brought on the road, or which are viable for road application. And this is a specific example, and this is just the beginning, you know. This is year one of efficiency. And don't forget, diesel engine as such is the most efficient powertrain, even if somebody tries to overcome this effect by laws or by strange rules or sometimes by big hybrid systems. But overall, for a customer, it counts the overall consumption and the efficiency of the combustion engine.
Ulrich Beretsky, clearly there, absolutely convinced that the diesel engine efficiency is the right way to go in this brave new world of new regulations in the FIA, WEC and at Le Mans. I'm John Heindorf, and you're listening to a RadioLeMans.com Midweek Motorsport special as we look forward to the 2014 World Endurance Championship season and Audi's challenge for the World Championship and for the 24 Hours of Le Mans. Still to come on the programme, Mr. Le Mans, Tom Christensen, gives us his views on what we'll be watching in terms of action on the track and the tactics that lie behind that, both in the circuits around the world and at Lasart. There's more technical talk as Project Director Chris Renke gives us the inside view on the decisions that had to be made on that R18 e-tron Quattro because of the new regulations. But next, it's Marcel Fesler here on RadioLeMans.com.
Midweek Motorsport. Wednesday at 8 p.m. News and discussion, comment and debate, and sometimes speculation and argument. Join in with the Midweek Motorsport Listeners Collective at RadioLeMans.com as the team talk through a broad range of topics from throughout motorsport. F1, rallying, NASCAR, bikes, touring cars, sports cars. If it has wheels and they keep score, it's on. Midweek Motorsport, every Wednesday at 8 p.m. RadioLeMans.com.
Marcel Fessler, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing fine, thank you.
A couple of days here at Ricard that is a little bit different from the testing you've done so far, because you've been able to look at the other cars and the GT cars. Has it been useful?
Yeah, for sure. It was actually difficult to say something about all the others, and so it was nice to see our competitors, first of all, like Porsche and Toyota, what they bring here. It was nice to have a view a little bit what they are doing, what their car looks like. But still, I think we didn't know, actually, nobody show 100% what they can do and what they are able to do, where are the problems or not. But for sure, you follow it a bit closer.
You weren't able to defend your world championship last year. You had to give up the number one to your teammates. And then you see, I said to Ben just there, is it easier or harder that your teammates take it away from you? It's great, it's another Audi, but it's like, is it...
I think, it was tough to give it away. I think it doesn't matter if it's your teammates or not. It was for sure tough for us to say, okay, this time we won't be champion. But at least it was our teammates, I think. And therefore, I was happy for them. I was very happy for all of them, but especially also for Alan. And it was not easy for us to give everything away, because once you have you tasted it, you would also taste it the year after. So that was a bit hard.
I'm quite pleased you said that, actually, because I think that's a very true answer. Thank you for that. Yeah, this is a big year. This is a big year for everybody, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's a very big year, because actually there's new rules. So everyone starts from zero. Mm-hmm. There are new competitors, as Porsche, for example, enjoy a big history from them. So I think the level of attention and the level of competition will be much higher than the years before.
Mm. The spectators will worry that it will change the racing. We have been blessed in the last few years to see some fantastic races, where even at Le Mans, 24 hours... many thousands of kilometres, and we come down to fractions of a second and seconds at the end of a race. Is it going to change the racing significantly?
That's a really, really difficult question. I asked the same question to myself, because I think nobody knows actually what's going to happen. And it could be still quite a hard fight. From outside, it won't change so much, I guess, because there will still be some fighting on track, but maybe a little bit different now because of the fuel safe strategy. You have to do it now. So I think there will be, for us drivers, it changes more maybe as for the spectators. But I still hope the races will be close and hard and tough and nice for the spectators.
These cars are still fast. We got pretty close to the old lap record here at Ricard, and this is very early days in the season, and I suspect, although I don't expect you to tell me, that not everybody is showing all of their pace until we know what the fuel numbers are going to be. So we've lost very little pace, if any pace at all.
Yeah, there's always a development behind, and as I think they try to cut everything a little bit down, but at the moment it looks like the pace is almost similar as last year. Mm-hmm. And I think it's nice to have the same pace. Honestly, I think if the car's going too slow, I think that's also not nice for spectators, but for sure not nice as a driver, because as a driver you want to have the fast cars, the faster corner speed, higher top speed. But now with the rules, it will still change something. So you have to use less fuel.
And a new challenge in your driving style as well. Yeah. Obviously the jewel in the crown is Le Mans, and it's 24 hours. Is there Is there a worry that if you have a problem at Le Mans, that you won't be able to make up time because you can only go as fast as you can go with the new regulation? So in the past, I'm not saying you could turn up the wick a bit, but if possible you could push a little bit harder. That's going to be more difficult now with the regulations?
Yes or no. It's difficult. The problem is, I think last year you could... We did some fuel save strategy as well. So, but this was maybe for a strategy to get less of a pit stop, for example, over 6 hours, for example, or over the race. And now you have to have each lap you have to be in this window. And I think this makes it much more harder for us to go any faster. But because it's for all the same. I think still you can make a difference on driving style to catch up. So I think we will still see something that someone can catch up much more than the others doing because, I don't know, because of the way he's driving, yes. Because maybe the car is set up. So I think there will still be a high competition out there.
I love the way that all you guys that I've spoke to are so motivated for this year. I know it's the start of a new season, but it's been a difficult off-season, lots of work to do. You're really up for this, all of you guys, aren't you?
Yeah, I think...
You want it to get started now, don't you? You want the racing to start.
Yeah. The winter was pretty long, I have to say now. And it's, you know, testing is one thing, but as a race driver, you want to have the race, you want to have the competition, and that's everyone looking for. And I think if you look a little bit through the whole paddock, you can see each driver, he lost some weight and looks pretty fit. So
I think... To me.
That is you, say. But already there you can see all of them are quite highly motivated. And yeah, I think it's a new season and it's everyone is motivated to see what's going to happen.
Well, I have to say, Marcel Fesler, Hop Suisse, and good luck for the season.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Chris Reinke, head of LMP project at Audi Sport.
When did this project start? Because clearly it didn't start just after Bahrain.
No, for sure not. It's a complete project. I mean, the work on the regulation together with the FIA and ACO has gone on for very, very long. As it was always clear that it will be a complete new set of regulations. So if you build that in the phases, it was a lot of years. The actual concept at Audi Sport started after Le Mans 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. So the car has been under construction for more than a year till we start to build the first monocoque structure. And since October of last year, we do test with the car. So therefore, we have now a car around about for half a year on the track.
The original set of rules have been out for quite some time. There's been a bit of tweaking to it. Would you have done anything different 2 years ago had you seen the completed rules?
Well, in general, you can say that we are always aware which parts still get tuned, which still get tweaked, and we try to, in the concept, build in that those are also adjustable for us in the design of the car. In general, if you would do something different, with now all the experience that we have with the car, as we tested already for half a year, yes, you would always do something different. Otherwise, there wouldn't be a next year's race car better performing.
So you've learned already. That's the Audi way, I have to say. You've selected a hybrid system that is 2 megajoules. Both of your major competitors now, as we know, after the prologue here at Ricard, have gone for 6. Why? What's the difference between your system and theirs? Why do you think that your solution is better than theirs?
Well, better or not, you know, for us, it's a suitable system, and you have to look at the hierarchy how we took decisions. When we went in the early concept phase, it was one of the very early decisions what kind of combustion engine we're going to use. And it was a very early decision that we stick with the diesel concept. And committing to the diesel concept means that we have a lot of mass dedicated to that combustion concept. And therefore, we have only a limited amount of mass left for a hybrid system. And that already ties us up quite a bit. And then the next step is probably, you know, how much you push the technology available to maybe get more power and therefore risk reliability. And, you know, that is then something you have to level out and see where you feel most comfortable.
You've toyed with a couple of other additional hybrid systems than the flywheel. The air hybrid, which was effectively legislated out of existence, and then the electrical turbine type of hybrid, the additional gas back type system. The first one was legislated out. Was that disappointing? The second one, why did you discard it?
Once again, that's during the course of a process. You have to review again and again where you stand, where are you in relation to risk regarding performance, and that was one of those items which were thoroughly tested so you can really evaluate where we are, how much of a risk do they bring to the car, how much performance would they add, and on that basis it was decided that we postpone the system and won't confirm it for this year.
Were you disappointed not to be able to use the air hybrid system that you tried about 18 months ago?
As an engineer, you're always excited to have as much technology, as much possibilities to develop advanced stuff into the car, which, to our best belief, might have road relevance. Yes. So that's very, very exciting for us. And if you bring it that far that you actually run those systems in the car and eventually can prove them against competition, which always is our final goal, yes, it is in a way disappointing. But that's part of it, that you push the limits, and in certain things you won't succeed.
Are we going to see a different type of racing?
Well, we're always limited. We always had air restrictors. We always had boost pressure limitations. So there was not, that we could put some extra in if we have to catch up or something. So limitation was always there. Now it's of a different kind. So we have to get used to that. Maybe a certain complexity, but I see it more as a challenge rather than a tie down. So yes, there will be absolute exciting racing. And me personally, I have to admit, I didn't expect us to be that tight of a field here in testing. I always said when we come here, we bring a lot of components, a lot of strategies that we're going to test here. And for sure, we won't be, Porsche will have theirs, Toyota theirs. And that even so, we all came with those different topics for testing are that tight of a field, that looks like a very exciting racing season.
It's unusual in motorsport to have three major manufacturers. It's more unusual with a set of regulations that three major manufacturers have three completely different solutions to the same question. The question is, go fast for 24 hours. Is that a testament to the openness of the rules?
Absolutely. How open the technology is and how much you can really define your own way and go your route. That is basically what we believe, that it's a philosophy why there are different road car manufacturers, different philosophies, and that we really reflect here. It's not, other series are so tied down. At the end, if you color all the cars on the Formula One grid the same color, it needs a real expert to really tell which team is which. And we don't have that here for sure. And that's the excitement I think we all share who are into endurance racing, and that gets more than confirmed by the fact that the three major manufacturers choose all different concepts.
Forward throw technology, Vorsprung Durch Technik, is the Audi mantra. It is a way of life. Are we proving concepts like we did with FSI on the race cars that we will see, not tomorrow, not next week, but sometime in an A1, a Q5?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the general drivetrain philosophies, the e-tron system, for sure we'll have in the car, and little items, certain aspects you see every year spinning off. I mean, we introduced the Matrix Beam LED lights last year. This year you can order them in the A8. We introduced the laser lights this year. Hopefully next year you can order them in the road car. Those are the little items. If you look at the bigger concept ones, you mentioned yourself the TFSI, the TDI, and also the e-tron cars go on sale now. The A3 is available this year. Even those get handed over to the road car and Vicler developers. Thank you.
Thank you very much indeed, Chris.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Tom Christensen is with me now. I've got to take you back to Tuesday of this week. Le Mans, driving the e-tron out of the Place du Jacobin to the Circuit de la Sarthe.
Yeah, it was a unique opportunity for sure. I mean, as the day came, the people came in, and it was much more cool than you could even imagine when you look back at a race starting in 1923, and then the years after that, when they really drove the race cars, from the cathedral and to the circuit. It's really a big step back in history. So you can say in one day you relive a bit of the past, present, and of course a car for the future. So it was a great and fun event. But I would say the police at Le Mans are relatively fast. So it was they treated it like it's supposed to be in a city which lives and have so much passion for this race. This, I think, was felt as we left the Place des Jacobins to the circuit.
So many people there, Tom. So many people. You had the traffic calming, what we call the sleeping policeman in the UK to get over that, and the e-tron. I know it was wound up on its suspension, but there are street cars that need hydraulics to get over those things. That was remarkable.
I mean, we went on wet tires, but I felt every bump on there. It's the race cars, so you know, to withstand the aerodynamic levels that what we have. The cars are really stiff. I think I went just cruising in first and second. I think I put third at one stage, but you know, a 7-speed gearbox, it's not much. The mayor, the city, and the ACO have done a great job in promoting it for let's say just a Tuesday in March to do this and not really around the race. So it was very unique opportunity, and for us, you know, to have done it. 2014 started, and whatever happens, we have a lot of focus on the year, but definitely we have now made sure that we rolled in on the start finishing line at the circuit as the first this year.
Tell me a little bit about the business end of the week, which is here at Paul Ricard. 2 days of testing, and the first time you've been out there with other P1 cars, with your competitors, and other GT cars as well. And that's a big difference. You can test and test even with two R18s, but this is different here. You find out more?
Yeah, it was very important. I think it's from the FIA, WEC, it's correct to have a test before, and it was good to have the traffic there as well, as it's to be honest very complicated this year. I mean, it's with the new regulation, with the way of driving, of having a certain energy level per lap, it is very interesting. And with this test in traffic, as these always value, so you always have to sort of be challenged by the stress of always have to fulfill as close to zero on the energy as that will be the fastest. So that is it's a lot of things which is suddenly put extra onto the drivers and trying to go as fast as possible.
You guys have always worked to fuel numbers in some way, shape, or form. You have a delta. You have a lap time on the steering wheel. You have fuel numbers, so you've always been able to gauge what you've been doing lap on lap. How much more thinking have you got to do? How much more thinking have the engineers got to do this year for this rolling 3-lap average? Which I haven't got my head around it yet, if I'm honest, Tom. Yeah. And particularly at places like Le Mans, where you've got to do that for 24 hours.
It's going to be very, very. I mean, at the end of the day, or you can say certainly at the last couple of corners at every lap, it's purely down to the driver. But until then, the whole preparation, the whole setup of how to get the best strategy, it's really manpower from the engineers, from the mechanics, to get that to work together with us. And then we have to go out and deliver under these strategies that we try to optimize. And so far, you know, it's very motivating, and it's a big change, but it's, at the same time, it's also challenging. And again, it's every lap. Fuel numbers, we have been able to use them, I would say, at least a third of the Le Mans races I have been doing. I have been asked to make sure that if I can save a bit, I will go an extra lap. And an extra lap in a race at every stint means at least a pit stop. Yeah. So I have done at one third. But here you don't really save that if you want to do the performance, because at every lap it's reset again.
And do you have in the car a form of energy readout that you're working to?
Yes, we have more. We have certain different kinds of delta, which means that distance dependent on the circuit, so we know more or less where we are in the figure or what we are supposed to, to which strategy we have, and that's on top of all the other things you have in a modern race car. I mean, have a look in our cockpit, and when everything is switched on, the drivers are challenged.
It's another skill for you to learn. Will it change the racing? That's what the fans want to know. Will we still see? It's endurance racing. It's not a 20-minute sprint, so it's not door-to-door, wheel-to-wheel always. We've had some great races in the year. But will it change the racing for the fans?
It's definitely, it will level the race a lot in terms of making sure that everyone have the same... very much the same. It's very difficult to get any testing or optimizing of the car. It's all going to be leveled out. So it will be incredibly close racing, and I think there will be a lot of overtakings. There will be a lot of, let's say, for the TV, for the fans, it will be passing, as usual. So I think it will be very, very interesting in that sense. But it will be definitely, for the engineers and the drivers, it will be more challenging, even that you can add a stress factor into every lap, particularly at the end of every lap.
I remember being interviewed about you a couple of years ago when you broke Jackie Ickx's record. And now you're standing with 9 Le Mans victories. And clearly you have no intention of stopping. 10 is a nice round number. Can you do 10? Do you want 10? And would that be enough for Tom Christensen?
No, I mean, it's so much teamwork nowadays, and I'm really proud to be a part of this this great team. I'm proud of driving with Lucas now and with Loic like last year. Alan will be around and still supporting all of us. But you know, it is really team efforts, and you know, there's everyone have a personal thing into it, but it only comes after you have been a team member going and try the best you can do. And of course, there are personal interests. I mean, a Brazilian have never won Le Mans overall, so that's a certain thing. I think under the circumstances last year, Loic's great drive and great victory, he deserves to also to win under celebrating conditions. And there we go again. I mean, the opposition have never been stronger. We have seen that already early in the test days, that Porsche is right at the level from the beginning, from the outset of the official test. And Toyota, we know that that they are not entirely happy from the last 2 years, where they have really done a fantastic job. But Audi, we have been able to take the honors.
But for Tom Christensen, is 10 enough, or would you want 11, then 12?
I mean, it's not. I mean, I enjoy really much the process of working in a great team like what we have. I enjoy having the talks with Dr. Rulik when you come to the end of the year, as we have done a few years now, having spoken a year-by-year basis. And that will be the same again. But we are standing here. The sun is shining. It's a little bit windy, but it's March. So that now it's certainly not the time to talk into this direction. I enjoy it. I'm motivated. And I look forward for another year. And I think that's a great privilege from Audi that we can do that.
And you come as the defending champion at Le Mans, but also this year a defending world champion. Now, you're a professional racing driver, you want to win races.
Yeah, but
a world championship is something different. Did you ever expect to be a world champion in endurance racing?
I mean, for many years it was called the American Le Mans Series, so no. But I think it's great, and to see everything from the cooperation with ACO and FIA. I mean, so far it's really great, because you see how much the championship grow. You have seen the way that they have been thinking from Sean Todd and the people around. And I think that relevance is very good, particularly to where I am with a manufacturer like Audi. We want to bring the relevance onto the fans, but we also want to bring it down to the road so people can buy cars from that. Toyota likes that. Porsche likes that. We hear some other car manufacturers are definitely looking at that. And I think that will make this championship grow and get even bigger. from my point of view, that Loic, Alan and me won the World Championship last year. It was extraordinarily splendid, and it had made this winter so much nicer. And I think it was really the right timing in terms of coming into to this championship, which is very much year zero for the future.
A very fit, very motivated and still clearly very hungry for success, Tom Christensen rounds off our look at Audi's 2014 challenge for the FIA World Endurance Championship and the Le Mans 24 Hours. My thanks to head of Audi Motorsport, Dr. Wolfgang Ulrich, the rest of the team and especially Martin Pass for allowing us that access at Paul Ricard. Thanks for joining us on this special. I'm John Heindorf. I'm excited for the 2014 FIA WEC and Le Mans. I hope you are too. Follow it all here on RadioLeMans.com.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production. For more, go to www.RadioLeMans.com. Radio Show Limited. We talk to the world.